About 3 weeks ago, I started going back and reading the Christmas story and asking God what he would have me share on Christmas Sunday. This, of course, being Christmas Sunday, and kind of preparing my mind for what he'd have me to say. And to be honest, I struggled and struggled and struggled. I have that sometimes on special days. I'll be in Easter mood on Christmas and Christmas mood on Easter. But God always gives me something. And even though I went back numerous times and read the Christmas story itself, I found myself wrestling with that's not the sermon topic. And in asking the Lord, Lord, do you want me to have something different? I felt that the Lord spoke to me that the real Christmas story was in Luke 15. As I began reading that, I felt moved in my own heart throughout this week, right up to yesterday morning and this morning. I felt, for whatever reason, but I believe it's God ordered, that I'm to talk to you about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Because that, my friends, is truly the heart of the Christmas story. Allie read the Christmas story out of Luke, which is a nice detailed account to open the service as we played What Child Is This in the background. There are neat details and numerous things that can be said about the wise men and the shepherds and the manger. I've opened Christmas Sunday several times holding a baby, sometimes a doll, sometimes a real baby. And talked about the attributes of God that are illustrated in a baby, and those are awesome truths. But I have no question this morning, for whatever reason, that God wanted me to talk about the chapter that he spoke to me out, the real Christmas story of what Jesus was saying in coming to earth. Daddy used to say that the Heavenly Father, the magnificent Creator, reached down from heaven and laid his arm in a manger. And that was Jesus Christ, for it was God reaching to man. We're in a world where there's crazy religious ideas where people die for their God and crash into buildings, burn themselves alive, attach suicide vests to themselves to give their life for their God. But may I say to you that we have a God who gave his life for us. And that, my friend, is the difference. We have a God who gave his life for us. And so as the religions of the world struggle to reach up with that bony arm of human flesh to God, God reaches down through Jesus Christ in Bethlehem and shouts to us, you are welcome. And the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son, I believe, are the true Christmas story of why Jesus came to earth. And so I'm going to read Luke chapter 15. Not sure what all I'm going to say about it, but I believe there's something for us this morning. And I'm going to have eye surgery in February, and then I'll be able to see good. Hope I'm not annoying in music, trying to see my music. I'm trying one eye and then the other and squinting, but I'm having eye surgery so you might have to bear with me a little bit on glasses on and off and saying words wrong. My vision's pretty bad at this point. Now the tax collectors, Luke 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. Interesting that he drew those folks, isn't it? Interesting. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I believe and have often said to our church leaders, if we lift Christ in the proper way, it will draw people. Doesn't always mean you have a sellout crowd. Doesn't mean you'll always be popular. Sometimes Jesus puts the law down and says, deny yourself and take up your cross, and that thins out the crowd a little bit for a while. But overall, when you look at the big picture, if Christ, in the true the way that he is, now you can put up a distorted Christ, a different Christ, you can go all kinds of directions, and we often mislabel who Christ is. But if we lift Christ in the proper way of who he was, it has a drawing effect. It has a drawing effect. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he find it? Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, he loses one. That's only 1%. We're not going to worry about that, are we? Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that lost sheep until he finds it? And we know, of course, that Luke 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, is God telling us a story about himself. This is the heart of the Christmas story. And when he finds that lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. And then he calls the friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The lost coin. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins. So we have 1 in 100 lost sheep, 1%. Now we have 10 coins. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully, diligently, until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man that had 2 sons. 50%. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the youngest son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Make me one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. And he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring a fatted calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And he began to celebrate." The lost sheep. The lost coin. The lost son. Illustrate the heart of God. You got to get this. Don't you go sleep on me. This is the heart of the Christmas story. What Jesus did in coming and being born in a manger, the arm of God stretched to us, is illustrated best. Oh, we love the details of the Bethlehem story and the three kings who came with the gifts, the Magi and the shepherds and all those details, and awesome truths can be drawn from that. But the heart, my friend, of the Christmas story is Luke 15. The heart of God and what motivated him to send his only begotten son. number of years ago, a young man came and did a music concert in the Peru area. Young man that had picked up quite a bit of fame, and I don't doubt that would have grown even more. It was Johnny Bench, the baseball player's nephew, Tony Bench. So happened that after the concert, and they were a pretty good band, and Tony had a 100-foot cord on his microphone, and he could go out in the crowd and sing. And I know when they performed in Fort Wayne, there were 3,000 there. Pretty good band in those days. I was pastoring in Peru, where Zion Chapel is now. We did a lot of music. We were beginning, the seeds had been born for the Chicago ministry and the outreach and the move that God was going to make in my own life to teach me some incredible lessons about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And at that time, I had a son that was very lost. Tony showed up at our church on a Sunday morning. Reason he showed up is because the jail chaplain had recommended he go to church when he get out. He'd gotten some trouble while doing a concert in this area. Had gone to jail and was in the jail for quite a bit. When they let him out, the chaplain he had talked to said, "You need to go to church. Somebody recommended our church." I'd never seen him before, didn't know who he was. I was on the platform that Sunday morning, and I remember seeing a young man, a blonde woman, come in. Found later that was his wife at the time. Came in and sat in the back. Two small children. I remember being drawn. I remember noticing him, and the church was pretty full that day. There's 200-300 there probably at that time. I remember feeling a drawing, and just an unusual drawing. Little did I know the events that would follow and the death he would have in a car accident and all that would take place. I'm saying that to say to you, follow the drawings that you feel. Don't ignore the drawings that you feel. I'm so thankful two Sundays ago that a number of people participated in drawing to Ed Duncan, because that evening he went to be with the Lord and recommitted his heart at this altar. I want to be sensitive to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. We don't know who we're sitting next to. In the busyness of life, little exit ramp here, in the busyness of life, don't be overcome by those troubles and cares of life and miss the drawings of God's Spirit and the whisper that direct you. I knew in my heart of hearts, looking out there, I was to connect with Tony, and so I beelined it after the sermon. I think I had somebody else dismiss in prayer, if I remember correctly. Since my cancer 10 years ago, it was the chemotherapy that I get my details mixed up. You have to bear with me a little bit. And I may need corrected at times. But I went to the back, and I said to him, would you like to get together? He said, sure. I said, let's get together for coffee. Quick introduction. He was a talker, forward guy. We met at the truck stop, and that used to be my office when they had the truck stop there, and I spent a lot of time. Nice to see Charity here, by the way. I met Charity at the truck stop. She was my waitress, became a Christian years ago. Right when I said truck stop, I remembered I spotted you a while ago. Want to be sensitive to all that? Hey, a little exit ramp. Maybe you're at the truck stop to read your Bible and drink your coffee, but maybe God has you there for a waitress. I believe that happened. I went to the truck stop to be alone. Frankly, I didn't want to be bothered. I went back there to the place at a table, and there wasn't very many people there, and laid a Bible open there. And a young woman came up to my table and said, sir, and she acted kind of embarrassed a little bit. She said, are you a minister? I said, I am. And she said, I've been wanting to talk to a minister, and that led to getting to know Charity, which led to getting to know Brian. Brian, where are you? There he is. Our awesome bass player and dear friend and prayer partner. But it's neat how God works. There again, a good example. Little exit ramp, but a good example. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit. I want to be very, very sensitive to the Spirit. So Tony and I got together at the truck stop and talked and had coffee. Wasn't long after that he gave his heart to the Lord. His wife began coming to church. She gave her heart to the Lord as well. And boy, it wasn't long until I tapped him on singing. This guy had an incredible voice. And oh my, I had dreams he didn't know about. I thought, man, I'm going to take this guy to Chicago with me. I'll be glad to assist and help and just sing along with him. I enjoyed singing and played some drums in those days and played guitars, did different music things, but I noticed this guy, spotted his talent, and I'm like, oh, wow, man, this guy, he can be a great help in the Chicago ministry. And so I began sharing a little bit of that, and he got kind of pumped and excited about it. And I, to be honest, with the size of the church at that point in time in our growth, I probably spent more time with him than I usually did with people, but I just felt a drawing. I just felt a drawing. And little did I know the events that were ahead. Tony was doing really well, singing in church. People were moved by his music. And I know he touched a lot of your hearts. Larry Woodhouse showed me in the mentoring group the other day, obituary of Tony's in the front of his Bible. I know he connected with a lot of you who were with me in those days. Tony hit a pitfall, didn't do very well. Make a long story short, fell back, fell hard. I don't know of a time that I was ever any sadder than then, because I felt like God had an assignment for him. I've been so sad many times when I've seen people drift or fall. I've had a brokenness and an aching heart over that, but I don't know of a time, I'm going somewhere with this, I don't know of a time that I ever felt more of an ache in my heart than when I heard, and his wife called in a panic and said, Tony's thrown in the towel, he's got mixed up in a mess, I just found out about it. In fact, he took off for Fort Wayne tonight, he's going to spend the evening singing in the bars like he used to up there, he's gone. I said, no way. I'm telling you this for a reason. God was letting me participate in the lost sheep. My daddy used to say, before you can bring somebody back on your shoulders, you got to have them on your heart. They got to be on your heart. And it hurts. It hurts when you've invested a lot in somebody. It hurts when you've put a lot into something. You've seen somebody make a lot of progress, and then it seems like it's lost. Don't give up on people. There's a message in this for all of us today, and I'm definitely going somewhere with this. I want you to connect with these stories, and then I want to talk to you about an assignment for us for this coming year based on this Christmas story in Luke 15. So as I'm talking throughout the message, who is it that's on your heart? Do you know that the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son are all stories about backsliders? I didn't realize that till this week. We're always about going out and winning the heathen and the pagans and all that, and my goodness, shouldn't we do that? Absolutely. The Great Commission demands it. But this chapter's all about backsliders. The sheep had been with the 100, with the 99, and there were 100. The coin had been in the collection, and the son had been with the father. This is all story about a backslider that fell away. God's got a heart for the backslider. He knows life isn't easy. He knows there's principalities and powers. He knows the serpent, who's more subtle than all the creatures in the garden, is still walking up to people and starting conversations and leading them astray. And the Father's heart yearns for them. And God, let me participate as I begin feeling a heaviness. And I knew that Saturday afternoon when his wife called that I had to go and hunt for Tony. And I told Pam, I said, I'm going to Fort Wayne. Not a good time for me to go to Fort Wayne. Sunday's a busy day. A lot on my mind. If I had my choice on Sunday night or Saturday night, I'd be a hermit and stay away from everybody. I'm always apologetic to Dan for not being at the biker service, because Saturday nights I just have to hold up. I got to just be quiet and still. It was out of character for me on a Saturday to take off and go to Fort Wayne, but I knew in my heart of heart, the Bible says the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ within us constrains us. It causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. It's a motivating force. Don't choke it out. Don't choke it out with things and activities and entertainment. I talked to you last week about the thief. What is it in your life that has stolen that heart you used to have? God allowed me to participate and get a little tiny feel of what he's teaching us here in Luke chapter 15. I went to Fort Wayne and began going to the clubs downtown. Night moved on, evening moved on, and a couple places I'd gone into, they said, yes, he was here. He was here. He sang here. He was here. So I told who I was, and of course, everybody thought I was a cop. As I went in the different clubs asking for people. But I knew in my heart there was the love of Christ constrains us. There was something pulling and calling. I don't want to miss that. Don't want to miss that. Long story short, late in the evening, I stopped at a club for a second time. And they said, he showed up here again. And we told him that there was a man looking for him. And when we described you, he said, I got to go home. And he left and drove back home. I'm not implying to you that I've always been the shepherd out finding the sheep. I've missed a lot of sheep. I've lived my life to the best of my ability, but I've realized at times that I overlooked something. I fell short. I was insensitive. Human, flesh and blood, this is flesh, just like you. We're not always going to get it right. But in that particular situation, I believe that I did catch what God was saying that night. And I got to participate in what God feels in this parable. The lost sheep. Tony came home and for a while was restored there to his wife. Later he fell, had a hard fall again, went back to Oklahoma where he was originally from and lived with his mom. And just to keep from leaving you hanging here, was in a car accident, called me one night, very intoxicated in a car accident. Died in the accident. And I'll just go ahead and finish that so you're not in suspense. Those of you who haven't heard the story, many of you have. I struggled awful with, where is Tony? Did he really connect in the first place? Why did he choose to go back? Most people, when they really taste of the Lord, don't want to leave. Did he really connect in the first place? How deep was his fall away? What happened that night? Was he killed instantly in that accident? Did he lay in the ditch and pray? All that was going through my head. And I didn't know the answers to that. May I say to you that sometimes in your hours of deepest suffering, God will answer your questions. Sometimes in your hours of deepest suffering, God will answer your question. 10 years ago in the hospital, I had a vision when I was battling cancer. And I had a vision. The song was playing on the CD player. I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. I heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. I turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And when that line of the song came up, as clear as anything, I saw a heavenly choir in the corner at the ceiling, and Tony was in it. And they were singing, God answers your deepest questions in your deepest suffering sometimes. Don't check out on him when you have a hard time. You with me? Don't check out on him. Don't punch out. Don't put the card in there and punch out when you're having a hard time. Sometimes God brings your greatest blessings and answers your deepest questions in your deepest times of suffering. And the Lord knew. I didn't ask the Lord to show me if Tony was in heaven, but God knew I wanted to know. God knew I wanted to know. I want to be connected. You with me? I want to be connected. My hope is that a hunger is within you to be connected with God. God said, how can I destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and not tell my friend Abraham what I'm going to do? I want to be connected enough that God says, hold on. I haven't talked to Tom about this yet. I haven't talked to Kathy about this yet. I haven't talked to Mike about this yet. Wait. And that relationship's attainable. That relationship is there. It's built through intimacy and time with God and connection with Him. The heart of God. So the lost sheep, what's the message? He wants you. All kinds of messages can be drawn, but what's the heart message here? He wants you. He's pursuing you, and you're important to Him. He'll leave the 99 and go out in the weather and climb the hills. The artists have tried to do their very best to illustrate the lost sheep. We've all seen the pictures of the bruised, wounded shepherd climbing the mountainside with a sheep on his shoulder, and other authors or painters will go another direction to try to illustrate what it was. But the bottom line is, he wants you here. He's pursuing you, and you are important to him. The lost coin. The lost coin. What's the message in the lost coin? All right, a little bit different situation. 10 coins, part of a collection. Obviously, if you collect them and put them together and save them, they matter to you. I remember preaching on this months ago, and I believe, if I remember right, I had a dustpan up here, and I should have this morning. There are unpleasant things in a dustpan. When we sweep the kitchen and sweep the pantry and sweep the hallway, there is dirt and dust and sawdust and pieces of macaroni and need I go on? Dustpans are not pretty things. Interesting that the Father, the Creator, in talking about himself, describes the kingdom of heaven in this manner. That she lost her one coin and she swept the house carefully. Have you ever gone through the dustpan? I've gone through the drain looking for a contact lens, a $300 contact lens. It's amazing when you're low on money and you have a $300 contact lens how you'll go through the trap. And dig through and run a wire down and pull up all that ugly stuff. I'm not trying to be cute or funny. I want us to get, there's a difference in these two stories. The coin didn't lose its value because it was in the stuff. The coin didn't lose its value because it was in the drain trap. Some of us have been here and we've got a pretty dirty mess on our hands. Some of us have been in that mess for a while and years have passed and we got a pretty ugly mess in that drain trap, in that dustpan. There's that ugly, dirty hair of lost relationships and broken relationship. There's that ugly, murky stuff of past sins and moral decay and problems in our lives. There's all of that ugly stuff. May I say to you, even in your mess, how do I get this across to you? What's the message? Oh, lots could be said, but what's the message of the lost coin? I believe the message is, even in your mess, you're still of great value to him. And he will sweep and get his hands dirty to find you. She swept, went through the stuff. Sometimes, looking for the coin, we got to get our hands dirty. Are you willing to do that? The scripture says we're ambassadors for Christ. I'm going to jump ahead of what I was going to say at the end. I think I'm supposed to say it now. The scripture says we're ambassadors for Christ. I challenged you 2-3 weeks ago. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? May I say to you, who are you willing to believe God for in 2016? Maybe you're going to have to get your hands dirty. Will you do it? I think we're not finding the coin because we're not willing to go through the dustpan. I think we're not finding the coin sometimes because we're going to stay up here and expect that person to come to us. And God wants us to sweep and sweep. I'm not suggesting we partake in sinfulness to create a bridge with a person. But I am suggesting to you that the God of the universe isn't afraid to get his hands dirty. And when you sweep and go through the trash to find the coin, there's a powerful message in that, and that's the heart of the Christmas message. For Jesus, is that the heart of the Christmas message, or isn't it? Or am I right that the Son of God came and let people clear their throat and spit on him? He got dirty. He let him put a crown of thorns on his head, and the Roman soldiers went by and slapped him on the face with him blindfolded and said, "Prophesy and say who it is and spit on him." God is a God that's not afraid to get his hands dirty. What is it that God would call us to do at CMO in 2016? What are you willing to believe God for? Who are you willing to believe God for? It may require getting our hands dirty. So there's twofold in the message. There's two things for us this morning that I believe God's given me. One is the story itself to grip that this is the heart of the Christmas story. But second, it's a commission to us. Who is it that you need to leave the 99 and go find and carry them back on your shoulders? Who is it? Somebody's coming to your mind probably as I speak. God is faithful. Who is that person at work that if somebody's willing to go through their dirt and it wears you out to hear them, it exhausts you to hear their story. Been there. It wears you down to get involved and it costs you some time. Notice the end of each of these stories is the same. When they found the coin, she calls her friends and neighbors together. This is a story God is telling us about himself. Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. Backslider, even in your mess, I don't know why God has a heart for the backslider, but tell me, read this yourself. We're not on the defensive here. Read it yourself. Isn't this a story about backsliders? It sure looks like it to me. They were all part of it. And the sheep got lost for whatever reason. The coin got lost for whatever reason. The son was lost. We'll get into that in a minute. What's the message? Even in your mess, you're still of great value to him. He'll sweep, get his hands dirty to find you. A number of years ago, went to Seattle, Washington to hunt for one of my sons. I knew in my knower I had to go. We had heard that he had overdosed and that a street girl found him and took him to the hospital and saved his life. And I knew I wanted to hug that girl and tell her thank you. I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. Found that girl in the homeless district of Seattle. And I went up and said who I was by the street name my son had. It's not the one I gave him. And I told her what his name was. But so she would know who I was, I described who it was. She immediately knew, and she kind of froze for a minute, said, "Wanted to know, why are you here?" And I said, "I came 3,000 miles to hug you and tell you thank you. I want to participate in the good stuff. There's a bigger thing going on than the factories and the stock market and the world exchanges. There's something bigger going on." Jesus would start every paragraph saying, "The kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom of heaven is, we're part of the kingdom of heaven." The truth is we get bogged down terribly with the things of this earth, and that's understandable. But he's constantly calling us to come up to another level. Ben, if you can go into Brant's, now you know that I believe there's strongholds there. And if you can go in there every day, I'm just using an example because I know you and I've been there. If you can go into Brant's and say, "Lord, I got work to do. I'm paid well. I want to do well. I want to perform well. But don't let me forget, there's something bigger going on here. Who is it that I need to hunt for? Who is it that I need to sweep and put up with some of their dirt and go through and to recognize there's a coin in there somewhere and it's supposed to be part of this collection?" Does that make sense? Don't be scared if you tend here. I know Ben real well, so I won't single you out and pick on you. We've talked about this in the mentoring group, though. We've been talking about our workplace. God wants us to rise above our situation. You can get bogged down. I told you how guilty I was. I hated Kroger's, the pressures that was on me as an employee and was there 17 years. And God, that was my seminary in a way. God wrestled me through some things. But when I came to a place where I could rise above all the nonsense, and yes, it was still there, but when I could rise above it and realize that there was kingdom business going on, I started having influence on some of the other employees, Howard France and Bob Moore and Jane Markham. And I started having some influence and realized that the kingdom was at work. Refresher times are times like these when God reminds us on this Christmas Sunday that the heart of the Christmas story, all the manger's a neat story, and the three wise men, those are all neat details and awesome truths to come, but I believe the heart of the Christmas story is Luke 15, for the heart of God is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And I've gotten to participate in that. Almost done. The lost son. The lost son. Is this the year? Come on. Is this your year? You've been praying a lot of years. You've been asking God for a miracle. Nothing's happening. It seems like it's getting worse. Is this your year? Keep watching. See the faith of the Father in the story. He saw the son a great way off and ran to him. He wouldn't have seen him away, a long way off if he wasn't watching for him. See the faith there? He wouldn't have seen him a long way off. He had to be watching for him. My daddy used to illustrate this so wonderfully. He'd say, can you see the father going out in the morning? And he sees somebody, sees a little dust stirred out there. Looks like somebody walking way off in the distance. And he's there on the porch going, boy, is that him? Walks kind of like him. No, he's going on by. But one day, he saw somebody, and he said, he walks like him. He walks like him. I think that's him. And as he got closer and closer, he said, that's him. That's him. And he ran to him. And the son had his speech already and said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm just put me out in the servant's quarters. I don't think the father even heard any of that. I don't even heard any of it. He said, kill the fatted calf. Put the ring on your finger. The lost son, what's the message? Your spot in the family will never be filled by anyone else. It's your spot. It's your spot. I got four boys. I got eight grandkids. If something happens to Jackson, that spot isn't going to be filled by any of the weathers, and I'm not going to say, oh, well, I got seven. No. That person's become part of me, part of my blood, and Jeff's blood are in that child's veins, and there's a connection. And I've talked to people. I remember talking to Glenda Briscoe one time. She had 15 kids. I said, change anything? She just cried. She said, oh, I just love them all to pieces. God, the master of the universe, the creator, made us for relationship. Your spot in the family isn't going to be filled by somebody else. So come on, step up. Your spot in the family is not going to be filled by somebody else. God doesn't operate on a majority rules. Can you see it? 1%, 1 in 99. 10%, 1 in 10. 50%, two sons. God's not worried. He goes the distance. Your spot in the family will never be filled by anyone else. It's your spot. He wants you. He wants your love. Let me explain that statement, parentheses. He wants your love, not your service. I think we need to get this. Now, a result of love is service. So yes, we serve and work for the Lord, but that's not what he wants. People think, oh, I'm going to start doing everything right. No, he wants your love. The son came back and said, I'll be one of the hired servants. And he said, no, you're not. Don't even think about it. I still got your room, bud. Don't even think about it. See, we're all about, I got to go back and serve and get this thing all straightened out and do all this stuff. He says, no, I want your love back. I want the relationship back. Now, don't be thrown to the princes. When the love comes back in the relationship, there's a natural wanting to serve. If I love my wife, can I get you something? Can I do this for you? Service is interwoven in that, but what God wants is our love. Nobody else can love him like you do. Quit thinking it's for somebody else. Well, there's plenty of people. God's got all kinds of people. He doesn't need me. No, that coin's in that trash someplace, and by George, I'm going to find it. If I have to go through and get filthy dirty, I'm going to find that coin. This collection will be complete. This 99, I don't care that I got 99 here in church on Sunday morning. That sheep went astray. I'm going to bring and carry that one back. And I want that son back at my table. The lost son, what's the message? Your spot in the family will never be filled by anyone else. It's your spot. It's your spot. Now, in closing, my famous line, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 says we're ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. You might want to write down that passage. What are you going to believe God for in 2016? Let's go there for a minute. We've touched on it along the way. This story is the heart of the Christmas story. And I want to say something that I left out. Couldn't read my own writing. Lord reminded me of it. I have written, we're talking about the lost son right now. I have written, this story is unique of the three. Listen carefully. This story is unique of the three. The other two stories, we don't know how they got lost. You know, we don't know if the sheep wandered off or chose to leave. We don't know that. The coin, we're not sure how the coin got lost. You know, one of the kids got in the collection, played with it. She was carrying it, and there was a hole in the bag, and it dropped out. We don't know how the coin got lost. But this prodigal son story, this was a deliberate action. He came and said, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. I'm done with this. It was rebellion. It was his fault. And it's interesting that the strongest response, listen, the strongest response is in the third story. The father saw him a great way off and ran to meet him. That verifies what it says in Psalms, that he's anxious to forgive. This is a unique one. Let me say that again. You don't want to miss that. The others, we're not even sure how they got lost. We all kind of got a heart for the little lamb that wandered off, don't we? We all kind of got a heart for the little lamb that wandered off its own way. The poor little innocent thing didn't mean to. This son came and said, give me my money. I'm out of here. I'm going to go party. I'm done with this. And it says he went to a faraway land and wasted his substance in riotous living. He partied himself to death and burned up all the inheritance. The father saw him a great way off and ran to him. The response is the most powerful in this story, but that illustrates the heart of God. God is anxious to forgive even if it's your fault. And it is. We have to come to the place where we recognize it is our fault. When David sinned with Bathsheba, his awesome prayers in Psalms 51, he didn't say, well, it was a stressful time. We were at war. It's no wonder I got mixed up in an affair. He said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this in thy sight. He took full, complete responsibility. No blame game. He took full and complete responsibility. But I want to tell you something this morning, if you forget everything else I said, don't forget this. I don't care how rebellious you've been. I don't care how much you've squandered your inheritance. God is anxious to forgive, and nobody's going to take your place in the family. He wants you. And this story is shouting that, and the heart of the Christmas story is the lost son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep. And no matter how rebellious you've been, God is anxious to forgive and waits on you to come to your senses, as it says here. He came to his senses, and he said, I'm going to go back to my father. If you will return, he will run to you. All right, I said in closing 7 minutes ago, what are you willing to believe God for in 2016? So let me just end with this. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're his representative. That's why it's so critical if somebody kills an ambassador. You know, we had an ambassador killed in Libya. People, oh, what's the big deal? Well, it's a huge deal. Because when you're an ambassador, you're actually a representative of the President of the United States in that country. So if somebody walks up and shoots you, that's supposed to be treated accordingly. That's what an ambassador is. This says we're ambassadors for Christ. He stood on the Mount of Olives. And as the disciples looked at him, he began ascending, and there's space between his feet and the ground, and they realized he's lifting off the ground. And he had just said to them, you are my witnesses to all. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're Christ's representative. So, isn't that compelling? When you read the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son story, isn't it compelling that we're now representing? We're supposed to pick up what he was doing? So I'm to hunt the lost sheep. CMO, I'm to find the lost coin, and I'm to forgive the lost son when he comes to his senses and wants to come back. So who is the lost sheep you're to hunt for and carry back in 2016? Who is the lost coin that you are to sweep and get dirty to find? Who's the family member that you need to run to with compassion when you see them afar off? And notice that he didn't go back to the pig pen and find him. He waited till he started back. I think that's interesting. He waited till he started back. The will has to turn toward God, or the effort's in vain. And can I throw a little sidelight? When the prodigal son was in the pig pen, if the dad would have taken him supper every day, he'd never got hungry. Tough love. If dad would have taken him supper every day, he'd have never got hungry. It said he got hungry and realized he was eating what the pigs eat and think, what am I thinking? My father's servants do better than this. Look at this stupid mess I got myself in. That's the breaking point. And he started back, but man, when they start back, get your running shoes on, dad. When they start back, get your running shoes on. When there's the slightest concession, get your running shoes on. Because the heart of God is to forgive. All right, who is it? Who's the lost sheep you're to hunt for and carry back? Who's the lost coin you're to sweep and get dirty and find? Who's the family member you need to run to with compassion when you see him afar off? I'm finished. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I believe we've shared the heart of the gospel. I believe this is the heart of the gospel. I believe it is the heart of the Christmas story. When you laid your arm in the manger, baby Jesus, God in the flesh, incredible concept that we can't absorb and understand fully yet with these minds. You were shouting to us, I'm becoming one of you. You were shouting to us, I'm trying to connect with you. I'm coming from my glory and majesty and streets of gold to live, be born in a barn, in a stable, and let men spit on me, and I'm trying to connect, and we're missing that message many times. And Lord, you also call us to connect. Lord, I'd ask that the conviction of the Holy Spirit would be strong on this group. Who is it that we need to hunt for, that we need to sweep for, and that we need to run to when they show the sign of coming home? Be with us as we go from this place. May your blessing be on our church family this week as they go about holiday activities. May we not forget these seeds that have been planted in our hearts. Refresh me. Give me more passion. I want extra passion this year, Lord. I want to go to another level this year. May we all choose that route. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You're dismissed.